Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, question on the text page. Let me pull this up here. This is for Seth.
Oh.
Says Seth, we'll get to the D'Amico cut that correlates and ties directly to this question.
Mm-hmm.
But Damian Pierce has been a big topic on the show this week and today. We had Nick Caserio on earlier today at 7:30. We talked to him for 45 minutes. You can get that interview on the Odyssey app, on the podcast for Payne and Pendergast. We talked about Damian Pierce with Nick, and the texter says, Seth, please explain what Damian was thinking when he tried a goal line dive over the pile when it was second and seven at midfield. I cannot take anyone serious that wants to keep promoting DP as a good back because of that play right there.
If I remember correctly, was that one of the Kendrick Green experiments? Kendrick Green at fullback?
It may have been.
I'll pull that up. But as far as Kendrick Green at fullback, let the listeners decide. Does it sound like D'Amico Ryans was happy with the experiment at Kendrick Green at fullback? Where this question was asked basically like, hey, wasn't it awesome that Kendrick Green played fullback? Okay. Do you have more guys asking to play fullback now?
Kendrick did an okay job stepping in there fullback, a little wrinkle for us on the offensive side, but he did a good job with it.
Yeah. 8 seconds. 8 seconds. You that answer was just enough time to get thrown off a bull at the rodeo right there. That was,
yeah, the biggest thing for Kendrick Green at fullback that I can say about that experiment was if they were doing it to set up something in the future, then okay. Then maybe it'll pay some dividends, but no, he wasn't. Now, the play I was thinking of was at the 1 yard line, but by the time it was at the 1 yard line on the goal line, Kendrick Green was at fullback, and Damian did jump at like the 3 yard line and never got past the 3 yard line.
Yeah.
He just, that was the end
this
of it.
Was
oh, no, no, no. That was the Joe Mixon one where it made it look like he was at the boomerang effect on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like he went over and then back,
came
over
back.
And then back. Yeah.
Yes, boomerang effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Damian's was like well between the 20s somewhere. It was like at midfield. And he just like, I remember looking around. We were watching it up here, me and Clint and Parker. Reggie, we're all watching it up here. And we're looking at each other like, did he just do a goal line dive on second and seven at like the 40 or something? It was just strange.
Yeah. Here, I'll go for run stuff. So, no, I don't think the problem with Kendrick Green at fullback is that he's not nearly as fast as most fullbacks. And this is one of those things, kinds of like the whams and the traps that were successful. Yeah, it might be nice every now and then as a rhythm changer, but it can't be a staple of the offense
mm-hmm.
because he's just not that good at it, and I don't think he's physiologically capable of being that good at it. These linebackers saw Kendrick Green, and they all just submarined him. And you might think, oh, okay, well, that's something to run around. No, the problem is that you've got, instead of a 450-pound mound of humanity in front of the running back, you've then got a 550-pound mound of humanity at the feet of the fullback, and the pile is created way behind the line of scrimmage because he's not getting up there as fast. I went back and watched them on Monday, all the Kendrick Green fullback snaps, and
yeah.
I think they were universally ugly and bad.
Yeah, do you think they're doing that as like a wrinkle, or do you think they're doing it out of desperation? Because they don't have a fullback on the roster right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Otherwise, Kendrick Green
British
wouldn't have been
Brooks,
in there playing fullback.
British Brooks is, you know, has played fullback for them, so there's that.
But he's injured. He's
right,
on IR.
Right. Yeah. So on the active roster now, they've just got tight ends masquerading as it.
Do they need a fullback? Do you think, is that something they should look for at the trade deadline? You can probably get one fairly cheap.
You can find one. There's only like 7 in existence.
That's true. It's like a dodo bird or a dinosaur, yeah.
And it's one of these things, too. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because there's no good fullbacks out there. So a team will try Kendrick Green at fullback, and they'll say, yep, see that? Nobody can play fullback. Like, yeah. Like, man, I don't know. Maybe if he got thousands of reps from high school through college into it, then maybe he could play fullback.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a hard position to play. It's really, really hard to play fullback well. So, I don't know. I wouldn't hold your breath for
it. I Googled most endangered animals right now.
Yeah.
Fullback is not in the top 10. I've got the 10 most right here.
When is Fullback Appreciation Day? There's got to be a Fullback
Appreciation
Day. There
should be. Yeah, I'll look that
somewhere.
Up on our list of days. If not, we need to start one. I think that would be that would be quite the audience to build right there, people who are pro-fullback. The African forest elephant. Rhinos are among the most endangered. Wow, the black rhino. Lemurs. Brown spider monkeys in danger.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Brown spider monkeys,
man. I wonder
man.
Why there are people eating them for food?
I don't know.
Seems like it'd be a lot of work. It seems like a spider monkey would be like crawfish.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I've been eating spider monkeys all afternoon, and I'm still hungry.
I'm swollen from all the salt in these spider monkeys.
I'm not afraid of people's criticism either. I'll wear gloves when I'm eating the spider monkeys. Yeah. It gets messy. You try to suck out the juices from their skull and everything.
African wild dog. There's a lot of these here. All right, that's
African wild dog is what John Mechie credits for why he's fast.
Oh yeah,
No, it said when they were living in
Ghana.
Where did he grow up? There were actual wild dogs, and that he'd be like in the neighborhood, and you'd have to run from them, and that's where he got fast.
That's right. I forgot.
That sounds like a really bad joke that I'm trying to set up or something.
No, it's
true. The actual story.
Google it. Yeah. It's a true story.
You can't cancel me for this. This
Google
is an
it.
Actual thing that John Mech, a story that John Mechie has
I'm
told.
I'm telling
yeah.
people to Google it. I'm like, God, I hope this is on the internet somewhere. Good morning, Sean and Seth. I believe the best thing that is happening to Dameon Pierce is when the Texans got Joe Mixon. I believe he is learning from watching Mixon, and I hope that this is the beginning of Dameon Pierce improving his running game. Great show, as always. God bless.
Yeah, I think that Dameon showed some progress on the zone runs, some of the zone runs where he saw the cutback, and he saw that there was a lane, and it might not look perfect, but I'm just going to get vertical, break some tackles and make something out of it. There were another couple times where it looked a little stodgy, and I don't think he was that crisp with the reads, but it's definitely something to build on. And the blocking could help out. I mean, they ran one inside zone where it was, and I did my thing where I'm like, all right, I got to send this out to my old cadre. I sent one to Wade Smith. I sent one to Drew Hodgson, to the old retired offensive lineman. I'm like, all right, am I wrong here, or does it look like Kenyon Green is doing something different from everybody else?
Yeah.
And they said, you're not wrong on that. It looks like you got three offensive linemen running outside zone, and then you've got a left guard. three offensive linemen running inside zone. You've got a left guard who's running outside zone. And then you've got a center who might be trying to run outside zone, but has really bad footwork in doing it. And then Dameon made the wrong read, but it was also not made better by the fact that the center and the left guard were not doing the same thing the three veteran offensive linemen were doing.
My head hurts. It's a lot.
It's just a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
If you go and watch some of the teams, watch Minnesota, watch the 49ers, watch the way their offensive line operate, and you don't have to be an expert on it. You can just see that the uniformity and movement and the attention to detail is not the same. So they've still got issues on the offensive line. Many people pointed out after the game, and it was a fair thing to point out. Yes, the Texans ran for 100 however many yards, and you average 7.5 yards per carry by your running backs in the game, and yet there were also a lot of stuffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of negative run plays, so it didn't tell the gross yardage didn't tell the whole story. They got to keep building on and fixing some things.
Agreed. As long as we're talking about things D'Amico said on Monday, and by the way, D'Amico is going to meet with the media this afternoon, as will C.J. Stroud. So we'll have some audio from both of those guys for you later on the station today, and we'll have some of it for you. I'm sure they'll say some good things that we'll hit tomorrow here on the show.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing, so we played D'Amico kind of downplaying the Kendrick Green thing. I would say of all the things that D'Amico said on Monday that came closest to maybe kind of kicking an ant pile a little bit was when he was asked about playing Jordan Love this coming Sunday.
Yeah, going against Jordan Love this week, he'll be the best quarterback we've seen this year. So it'll be a really, really tough matchup. Really good team. Green Bay has done a great job this year. Just, you know, they're explosive on offense. And they pose a lot of challenges, not only with Love, but the guys he's getting the ball to. Jaden Reed has done a great job of, they do a great job moving him all around, whether he's getting the ball in the backfield or in the passing game. It's just an explosive offense. They run the ball well with Jacobs, just well-coached team. So we have our hands full, just as all week. But it'll be a really big-time matchup for us, and I know our guys are excited about.
Okay, really good breakdown. Made me appropriately nervous. Ben, play that very beginning part again right there.
Going against Jordan Love this week, he'll be the best quarterback we've seen this year.
There we go. How about that? I tweeted afterwards. I said, good to see D'Amico has Stephon Diggs back on this one, man. Yeah. It ain't Josh Allen. It's Jordan Love is the best quarterback.
If D'Amico might as well have said, I've seen what ails Buffalo, and it's their quarterback
yes,
play.
They got
tell big we've seen this up close and personal.
Why they had
it's quarterback play that's the problem.
For
the
Amari
issue there.
Cooper, yeah.
I do think that, honestly, so far, I think he probably, in his mind, was thinking this is the best passing offense we've seen so far this year. If you look at, I mean, just by gross yardage, which isn't the best indicator, but the Packers are the only team above the Texans right now in terms of passing offense that they'll have faced so far. They're fourth-ranked passing offense.
Does Matt LaFleur get enough credit for the offensive mind that he is? And I say that because when he got to Green Bay in 2020, I think it was, Aaron Rodgers was declining when he got there. Aaron Rodgers proceeded to win two MVPs on Matt LaFleur's watch. And then they ship Aaron Rodgers out, and they seamlessly go to – I say seamlessly. I mean, they went 9-8 and won a playoff game. But that was above expectations for the Packers last year. And now they're considered certainly one of the top 10 teams in the sport, in large part because of this offense. It's now being built around another quarterback. And they don't have any weapons that are like – they got good weapons – but they don't have anything. I mean, Josh Jacobs might be the closest thing they have to somewhere you go, wow, that really pops. He led the league in rushing a couple years ago. Their wide receivers are really good. Jaden Reed's a good player. But there's nobody that's at that scary level of the guys that we've been talking about for, you know, like the types of guys that got traded yesterday, for example.
Yeah, I think LaFleur has always been a guy where they wonder, all right, is he an offensive coordinator or is he a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
And just exactly, is he does he command the entire team and direct the entire team? The defense is playing well this year too for the Packers. So I think he's respected as an offensive coordinator in mind, but people just, I guess, have questions about him as a head coach. But he also, I mean, he was thrust into a situation where I think the organization at that point obviously was thinking that Aaron Rodgers was on the decline too. They draft Jordan Love. And it wasn't awesome that first year. They won a bunch of games, but the offense wasn't really firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
It was that second year with Matt LaFleur where everything just took off. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers had been a mediocre quarterback the previous year before Matt LaFleur got there.
Yeah.
He's the victim in all this.
Well,
Matt LaFleur,
I mean, it begs the. I do wonder, like, it's pretty impressive. Like, when we lay it out like that, like, you coached a two-time MVP aging who was in decline, and now you swap him out for a guy that you guys drafted in 2020. There's development with Jordan Love that went on while Aaron Rodgers is there. I mean, I think it's really impressive what they've done. I'll tell you what, with respect to Rodgers, it does make me think, like, okay, it's not like it's been just a constant wave of success with Rodgers through his latter years in the NFL. Like, Brady was good like forever. Like Brady was good until he left. You know what I mean? Is the version of Aaron Rodgers that we're seeing right now more like the one we saw pre-LaFleur in 2018 and 2019, which would be great news for the Houston Texans in a couple of weeks. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll be watching the Jets eagerly. Do they have another primetime game?
They do. They play the Steelers on Ross is on that game, I think.
Sunday night?
Sunday night football, yeah.
Oh, Sunday's going to be a fun day.
It is.
We get Tony Romo and Jim Nantz at noon for the Texans game, and then in the evening we get the Jets' upcoming opponent. This will be good.
Yep. I'm just double checking to make sure. Yeah, Jets Steelers Sunday Night Football, a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610, starring Ross Tucker.
Now, in terms of the Packers might be the best passing offense that the Texans have seen so far.
Yeah,
they've seen two better scoring offenses already than the Packers. The Vikings, the Bills, and the Packers are all third, fourth, fifth, sixth through eighth in scoring right now. They've already, you know, and they did a good job versus the Bills. Not so hot versus the Vikings.
Yeah.
This will be another test, obviously.
I'm doing this without the benefit of having the Packers schedule in front of me so I can look at this. I'm just pointing out Malik Willis was the quarterback in a few of those games for the Packers. Again, I don't know what they did in those games. I'm just saying Malik Willis is their backup, and point being, the Packers' offense is probably
operating with Jordan Love.
Yeah. It's probably better than where they rank right now. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's circle back to Jerry Jones. Seth tried like crazy to have Nick Caserio get us fired earlier today because that's what the cool shows are doing. That's what the relevant shows are doing. They're almost.
If you're relevant, the GM of the team that you cover is threatening to have your
ass. Yeah. Yes. You know the old saying. If the GM of the team you cover ain't trying to fire you, you ain't popping.
That's right.
That's how it goes. So we'll circle back to Jerry Jones. I actually think Jerry Jones' message yesterday, now that I've had a chance to listen to it, I think it was misunderstood.
And you're gonna do two things on this show. You're gonna defend Jerry Jones, and you're gonna cheer for the Yankees. That's Sean Pendergast.
That's
everybody.
Me. Yep.
That's not me.
That's not me. That's me. And then in the final segment, why LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're giving away Tom Segura tickets in the next segment as well. So if you're a fan of Tom Segura and stand-up comedy, he's coming to NRG Arena next year in April. We're giving away tickets in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. So we'll get to Jerry Jones coming up next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.